chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mardawok, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County, the North Bay, and beyond. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Boy, do we have a full house tonight. It's been a while since we had five guests, but we've got something very special coming up. We have the 44th Gravenstein Apple Fair taking place on August 12th and 13th, and I tell you, in the last few years, the fair has just gotten better and better, so I'm very excited about it. And I think everybody else is. People are talking about it already, and we've got five people very involved at different levels. And I think what I'm going to do first is introduce Steve Dutton, who, quite surprisingly, at least to me, has been to all 40, well, he's been to 43 of the 44 fairs. Have you worked at them all?
No, when I was young, obviously I played at them, but yeah, as I got to be a teenager.
Younger, you're still a young man.
As I got to be a teenager and an adult, yes, I've worked at them all.
Uh-huh. Yep. And tell us a little bit, what was the first one like?
Well, I remember it was at the Buddhist temple in Sebastopol, and it was pretty small.
Uh-huh. In Manji temple?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was there. And it was just a small venue and a very small fair, but there was lots of apples to be bought there.
And were there, what are the kinds of activities at that point? Just apples?
I was six. Calm down now.
You were six, okay. So there's a great place to run. And there were no jumpy houses. So.
No, there was none of that there that I remember.
Okay. Yeah. And now you're on the advisory board.
I am. Yeah, I've been there with Farm Chills for now, I think, 5 or 6 years helping out. Yes.
And your family grows apples as well as grapes?
We do. We have 180 acres of apples in Sebastopol, all certified organic. Most of our apples go to the last cannery in Sonoma County, Manzana Products. And so most of the apples we grow are Gravensteins. Mm-hmm. So very important to be involved with the fair and promoting Gravenstein apples. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of apples that are sold right there at the entrance exit of the fair. Who's providing most of those? Is it lots of different farmers?
At the fair?
Yeah.
So it's either us, Dutton Ranch, mm-hmm. we have a booth, and at the other entrance exit would be the Walker family.
Oh, okay.
And Kalzowski has a few apples.
Okay.
They have a few apples as well. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep. When did the fair move to Regal Park?
79.
Thank you, Carmen, because that was, I was a big
And this
guessed.
Is Carmen Snyder, executive director. You've been executive director for how long now?
Since the fall of 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are doing a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Also with us tonight, we have, I want to say your last name correctly, Bob McElroy?
Bill McElroy, yes.
So I screw up your, I'm looking right at it and I say Bob. Okay, Michelle. Bill McElroy.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and you are the general manager of Monte Bellaria to California on Bloomfield Road, and you grow?
We grow three things. We grow lavender, olives, and we raise bees. So.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing an olive oil tasting at the Artisan Tasting Lounge at the Gravenstein Apple Fair. We've done this for a couple of years, and we're very happy to be a part of both the fair and Farm Trails. So we're actually brought a few little tastes tonight of olive oil. And also, something that we have in high demand right now is Montebellaria lavender honey. So I also brought a little bit of that for people to try, too.
Lavender honey, the famous honey of Provence.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember you now. We talked quite a bit at the Artisan Lounge.
Last year. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we also have with us Amanda Graziano, who is the tasting room manager, and also a a distiller?
Apprentice distiller. Glorified cleaner of the distillery.
Yeah. At Spirit Works Distillery. Great. Yeah. I wanted somebody on from Spirit Works Distillery on Mouthful for a long time. And then we have returning for, I don't know, fourth, fifth, 50th
Who's
time.
Counting, Michelle?
Ellen Cavalli of Chiplet Chet Cider. Thank you. And you all will be part of it. You were in the tasting room. I'm not sure. Spirit Works was in the Artisan Tasting Lounge last year.
Yes, we were.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was that you?
Yes, I worked. And then we had Nikki, who's one of our amazing sales reps as well, working on the weekend.
I think it was Nikki that I talked to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. So we're going to taste as we talk. What are we starting with? Are we starting with cider?
We could do cider. Let's do it.
Okay.
Sure.
A cider tent was added how many years ago?
So Ellen and Scott of Tilted Shed launched their cider at the 2012 Gravenstein Apple Fair. And at that point, they were the first craft cider, the only craft cider offered. And in 2013, Devoto Cider came. And, of course, the industry has just been thriving and growing. And this year we have 16 craft cider makers coming to the craft cider tent, which Oliver's is sponsoring this year. We're really excited about that. And then we have also like super local craft cider, like just from Sonoma County, or just from Sebastopol, sorry, I believe, in the Artisan Tasting Lounge.
And
who,
do you know their name?
That will be Tilted Shed, Devoto's, Gravenstein, Couturi, Ethic Cider, who's a new cider that you probably...
I tasted that at the Apple event.
And what Ellen's about to pour for us, I feel like I should back up and say that this year we have a theme, which is called In Praise of Pollinators. And so we're really trying to highlight the importance of pollinators, and Bill can speak to that as well tonight. So Ellen had this great idea for Tilted Shed to do a special release Gravenstein honey cider to be released at this Apple Fair. And so that's
what I just poured. Yeah.
With Montebelloria, with Bill from Montebelloria, and that's what we're going to taste. So why don't you, tell us about it?
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit. We're really excited to do this. You know, we wouldn't be here without the Gravenstein Apple Fair. We love it. It is what we look forward to year after year. And so this year what we wanted to do is sort of pay back and do something really special to commemorate the Gravenstein Apple Fair and all the good work that Sonoma County Farm Trails has done. And because we're very much into sustainable agriculture, we really love this theme of In Praise of Pollinators.
I love it too. I think it's just wonderful.
It's fantastic. And so we thought, well, naturally, we can take our Gravensteins and we can pair it with some locally sourced honey, and we can make a really beautiful.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
Here it goes. Sorry, I've been holding that in for a while. I had to go with it. We really could make a beautiful cider with it. And so we took this is a naturally fermented, so it's a wild ferment Gravenstein cider from the 2016 harvest, because we do everything obviously in season. So this is from last August. We fresh pressed it. At our cidery in Windsor, and this is from our grower Laura, who lives near Occidental, between Sebastopol and Occidental, and has organic Gravensteins. So it's 100% organic Gravensteins from Sebastopol.
And it's fermented fully dry.
It is. It's beautiful. It's fermented dry, and then we met Bill here. Oh, we're thrilled to be working with him and his beautiful lavender honey. I mean, it's floral. I mean, duh, it's lavender, but it's just so fresh and vibrant and floral. And we were so excited to be able to partner with him, with his lavender honey. And we used it as the basically the priming sugar for bottle conditioning. So this is naturally sparkling. Scott, my husband, who's a cider maker, just took Bill's great, beautiful honey, which I hope we can taste next to it. It'd be really cool to be able to compare. And then just blended it in and then bottled it. And it has been, I guess, for about a month and a half now, creating this like natural effervescence in bottle. It is properly dry, naturally sparkling, undisgorged. And I mean, I think it's a really great celebration of the Gravenstein apple, local honey, our pollinators, and really the bounty of Sonoma County. I think it's all in this bottle. So I'm really excited to be able to release it. We did only 15 cases, so it's really limited. And as an extra bonus, we had the good fortune to partner with Dan Gilbert, who's the artist who does all of your fabulous posters. I mean, I love the shirts, and I collect all of the posters and the postcards. And he did a modified version of this year's poster art for the cider. And so this is going to have its own Gravenstein Honey Cider label coming on Wednesday. I promise it's going to happen, that you can see right here. So it's going to be, you know, echoing this year's design theme as well as the pollinator theme.
That's a beautiful label. Now, I have to taste some of this honey, so it will be quiet for a moment.
I love these little spoons. They're so cute,
though. The great spoons. I think they're salt spoons.
They are salt spoons.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And as we're also tasting the cider, it really, really is very, very pronounced. It's great. You can really taste the apple and the sugar and everything. It's beautiful.
Right.
Great
it's
job.
Pretty earthy. What I really love about the Gravenstein, you know, we grow 100 and some different varieties. We grow a lot of apples. But the Gravenstein is always going to be a very important part of what we do because it gives so much, contributes so much to it. It's very earthy. It can do a lot of stone fruit. It evolves in so many different ways during fermentation that are unexpected. Year after year, it's really exciting. So this one, I think, is going to be a real beautiful year.
Last time we talked, you said something I found really interesting, that some people are putting a percentage of quince into their cider?
Yes, there are people who do that. The quince has some tannin in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a little bit of that tannin and you can't get the traditional cider apples, you know, that from England or France, the ones that we're growing, you can put a little quince in there. It definitely has a different flavor profile than an apple.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. I would recommend it. We once in a while we'll put a little bit in a blend, but Luther Burbank, he worked on some quince, and so like a pineapple quince or something like that. I mean that's pretty local too, and it can give it a lot of elegance too.
I have 5 or 6 quince trees, and it looks like last year I got exactly 2 quince.
Oh wow! Oh.
I don't know what happened, but it looked in previous years I had gotten hundreds. Oh.
Yeah.
And it looks like if everything continues as it is right now, there will be hundreds again. So I'm going to offer up my quince.
All right. We'll do a Michelle Anna Jordan, collaboration for next year.
There we go. And I wasn't even looking for any credit. I just want my quince to be
great.
Used.
One thing,
before we go on to a next tasting, I want to go back a little bit to the theme in praise of pollinators. And just ask what other, certainly bees, and bees have always, in my memory, been a part of the fair. There's often beekeepers and they bring in.
They're going to bring in a live, like a
demonstration hive.
Demonstration hive, like with, that'll be, have shade cloth, I guess, for the walls and do some beekeeping demonstrations every day so people can actually look inside a live hive.
Excellent. Yeah, I remember that before. I don't know. They'd bring in like one of the. I know a super is where you have a lot of the screens or whatever you call them. I don't know what you call one of those.
The
one
frames.
Of
the
frame.
A frame. That's right, a frame. Yeah, I've seen them before. I love watching them.
Yeah, it's always fun. The kids always like to try and find the queen. It's always a big game.
Do they?
Well, actually, I believe that in the demo hive that's being brought, the queen has a little mark of color on her back. So she's easier to find than if you were looking at just a raw hive.
I don't think I've ever seen a queen in in a hive or in a frame.
They're substantially.
One of the tricks is that the queen is normally surrounded by her attendants, and you'll find a whole bunch of bees that are all pointing towards one bee in the center, and she's larger than the rest of them. But you look for like a little cluster of bees that are all pointing towards one in the center.
And are they protecting her or are they feeding her?
Both.
Both, okay. It's so, bee culture is just so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's such a highly sophisticated, organized culture. I find it really wonderful.
Yeah.
Other pollinators being focused?
The Sonoma State University Biodiversity Club is going to come with a whole display about the full range of pollinators in this area.
So we'll have something about our local bats. Probably.
Because
I know Sonoma, I've seen some of Sonoma State's bat displays. They have some pretty interesting stuff. And we have, I think, 13 species of bats in Sonoma County.
And certainly, you know, I mean, the poster child this year is the honeybee, and the honeybee pollinates the Gravenstein. But of course, they're wild bees. And
bumblebees.
All sorts of pollinators, some of which are fairly close to being endangered. So that's part of the reason we wanted to raise some awareness about it. And at the do-it-yourself arena and at the beekeepers' tents, there will be folks who are talking about ways that you can plant in your backyard to support the pollinators and help them thrive. And we've got activities at the kids' area. They're going to be making seed bombs where they put together balls of clay with native plants that are appropriate for this region to feed the pollinators, and kids can take those home.
Oh, cool.
SSU is also, their group is going to do a little scavenger hunt about bees and pollinators, and Baker Creek Seed Company is donating, again, appropriate seed packs as prizes for that. So throughout the fair, there'll be lots of information to educate folks and hopefully inspire them to do what they can in their own backyards.
Excellent. That's wonderful.
And I wanted to mention along the cider tent lines, or the artisan tasting lines, we also have Dutton Estate, which Steve's brother, Joe, he's making a hard cider from
Gravenstein's and Golden.
And Golden Delicious.
Yes. Are we tasting that?
Also Paul Culling from Nana Mays will be there. Yeah.
Yes, excellent, excellent. Okay. So this is from Gravenstein's and
Golden.
Golden
Delicious.
Golden,
yes,
Delicious.
That we grew on our ranch.
And it's slightly off dry.
Supposed to be drinking.
Very warm quality. And I'm thinking that that's probably contributed by the Golden Delicious.
Yes, I think it is. You're right. So it's a blend. And you know, Joe's idea, my brother's idea, was to try to figure out, you know, we're growing all these apples, 1,500 tons of Gravensteins every year, and then several hundred tons of Goldens, and to figure out how to make cider out of the apples that we actually have on the ranch already. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's been working on here, and that's what he's accomplished.
Okay.
So
it's a very nice cider.
Thank you. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Not overly sweet.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to Bill, because you have, we tasted your honey.
Yes.
It is very, it has really pretty high notes, those high melody floral lines that are quite nice.
Thank you.
Tell us about the olive oil, and first of all, where do you get your oil crushed?
We crush at Olive Leaf. On Canfield Road.
Canfield, yes.
Yes, they've got a beautiful facility there.
I've been wanting them to come to Mouthful.
And it's coincidentally about a half mile from my grove.
Okay.
So basically you pick the olives on Sunday. It winds up at the press on Monday, and you've got your olive oil within 24 hours of the pick.
Mm-hmm.
So largely you don't want to press more than 48 hours after you pick, and we generally press within 24
hours. That's great.
Yeah.
And how many trees or how many acres, however you count?
I'm currently managing about 300 mature olives.
Uh-huh.
So we're bringing in a couple of tons of olives.
And what varieties?
Primarily, we're using the same varieties that McAvoy has
sold for
years.
Okay, same as Devero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we've got the key Tuscan varietals, which are Frantoio, Licino, Moreno, Moreolo, Pendolino, and Coratina.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so those are the ones that go into the crush. And our oil is a little bit special because we pick it very early. If you waited another month, you'd probably get 60% more oil, but it wouldn't be as flavorful.
Be so, a little flabbier, too.
Yes. Yeah. It would be buttery.
Yes.
And we're going for a very peppery taste to our
Good.
Oil.
That's the oil that I think is most... It's the best oil to use as a condiment, that peppery quality.
Well, this is a finishing oil, and I'll pass around some tastes so that people can taste this. And as you may remember from last year at the fair, the way you taste olive oil is very similar to the way you taste wine. You roll it around in your mouth, and as you swallow it, you bring air in through your teeth. So it's basically you make a reverse hiss sound, and what that does is it aerates it in the back of your throat. And you'll taste the pepper and the grass, you'll taste very quickly. But as you bring in that air through your teeth, you'll begin to actually feel the burn of the pepper in the back of your throat. And that's what we're really attempting. So
it has a really lovely aroma.
Okay, thank you.
Really beautiful.
Thank you. And we're going for a grassy, peppery taste. And we'll be doing, we'll have sheets at the Artisan Tasting Lounge that'll tell people the types of flavors of olive oil that you should be looking for. And
I'm getting that paper, pepper in the aftermouth right now.
Yeah, so like,
it's a delay.
Move away from the microphones because the best thing that we're looking for is like a little cough at the end of tasting.
It's coming, Bill.
Oh,
wow.
Wow, that was
Bill. So now I've killed everybody else.
I know. It's one of my favorite qualities in olive oil. And some people describe it, I think people who aren't used to tasting olive oil, they describe it as bitterness. But it's more nuanced than that, I think. But this is a lovely oil. This is what you want when you get some nice tomatoes from your backyard or from the farmer's market like I did today. Slice them up, add some olive oil, add some salt, and you have dinner.
Yeah.
At this time of year.
Yes, and one thing, you would never actually cook with this. This
no.
is what we call a finishing oil.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And where is it available?
Right now, we're selling almost all of our produce directly at the farm. We are open for the farm trail weekends. We are open for various weekend events, and we're selling quite a bit of it, just right direct. But we would, of course, love to expand, and anybody who's interested.
And if you come to the Artisan Tasting Lounge,
yes.
you can also buy it directly.
So And are you, Ellen, also selling cider at the tasting?
Not because of ABC.
Oh, ABC, right. You can't. Okay, yes, alcohol. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Alcohol. I know. There's so many things. Somebody posted on Facebook yesterday, or earlier this week when it was hotter, somebody posted a picture of what we would have thought of as an ice cream truck, only it was a Prosecco truck. I thought, no, I would love to be the Prosecco lady and just drive around and pull the spigot. And I was like, oh, the ABC. They probably wouldn't let that happen, would they? And on that note, we're going to take a little musical break to hear from the Hot Frittatas.
Thank you.
The Hot Frittatas. They don't think they're together anymore. They're such a fun band, and they led the Parade of Ingredients in the 2003 World's Biggest BLT at Kendall Jackson's Tomato Festival that I organized. That was really fun. I want to do it again. But we're talking about apples today. And let's just quickly talk about the music, because that's always a big part of it. And I know that Solidaire is playing, but I don't know who else.
They are. So we have live music on two stages. They alternate back and forth. And we have a great lineup this year. We have Zydeco both days with Tom Rigney and Flambeau and Gator Nation. We have Joe Craven and friends. We have the Western Swing Caravan with Bobby Black. We have Colmbrio. Have you heard of them?
No.
They're out of San Francisco, and we just got really lucky to grab them. They just got back from the Nice Jazz Festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in France. And they're kind of like they're a 10-piece band, and their front man is like a seriously Michael Jackson, James Brown showman with incredible dance moves, splits, all that. So they will be highly entertaining.
And when are they?
They are playing 2:30 on Sunday on the large stage, the Whole Foods stage. The Sam Chase Band, they're fabulous. Do you know them?
Mm-hmm.
Americana genre. Batacha Sextet, which is a Cuban jazz band. Fido Reynoso, which is also a Cuban band on Saturday. And we have and then the Love Choir always starts us out Sunday morning with some gospel tunes and sing-alongs. And we also have Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir coming this year. We're really excited about that. The French Oak Gypsy Band. And then there's one band that I'm not allowed to name yet, but as soon as August 4th comes, we can publicize it. But,
really?
Yes.
Can you say why?
Because it's a promotional contractual piece with some other festival that they're where they're performing. But they are honey themed. So I'll give you some hints.
Honey themed. Okay.
Honey themed. And then lastly, we have a really special happening at the closing of the day on Saturday. We've got a Baltic Bee Ritual with the Melissa Ensemble. So they're going to do, So they're going to do a circle dance and some music in praise of the bees, like an old tradition. So that will be wonderful to see. And then at the close of the day on Sunday, the Hubbub Club will march everyone out.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. That is fabulous. Yeah. The Hubbub Club. If you have never seen the Hubbub Club, you just have to see them. They cause a crazy ruckus.
Yes.
In the most. I discovered them a number of years ago. I don't think anyone knew who they were yet. They were pretty isolated. And my grandson, at that point, gosh, he was only 6 or 7, and he's 16 now. And I took him trick-or-treating on McDonald Avenue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and everybody, so many people on McDonald Avenue just turn their front lawns and even sometimes their front rooms into these crazy Halloween things. Mm-hmm. And on a corner, we're walking, and it's raining, and he's dressed as the Grim Reaper. He's about to fall asleep. And here come these musicians, and suddenly I felt like I was in New Orleans. And we just sat there in the rain, and, you know, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my God, I've died and gone to heaven. And a little while after that, they started appearing in more places. They are just wonderful. Also, something's going on, Life of the Farm. And one of the things I have to say I love about the Gravenstein Apple Fair is that as our wine industry has grown and gotten more popular, the fair has incorporated them but not been taken over. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's happened at the Harvest Fair is right now the Harvest Fair is really about the grape harvest and about wine more than anything else. So I love that the Gravenstein Fair has kept it more equal and put more of an emphasis on agriculture in general. So why don't you talk a little bit about Life on the Farm?
And let me say, though, about the wine industry. We do have a wine tent that has amazing local wines, and I feel so grateful because it's all donated. It's like this and as is the cider, and that's part of what
the wine tent. I love seeing the wine tent. I think it's great. I'm just glad it's not the
it's
only
balanced,
thing.
Absolutely, and cider actually has been just growing and growing in popularity. We ran out last year, but we're not going to this year. So life on the farm, I mean, one thing I really love is that the Apple Fair is still truly an agricultural event. There aren't jumpy houses or bounce castles or all that stuff. We have sheep shearing. We have Joe Posey comes in and does that every day at Life on the Farm stage. We have beekeeping demonstrations. We have Jana McClelland. I don't think she's hand milking. She's narrating, but one of her farm hands is hand milking a cow. There are apple panels. Clark Wolf always interviews farmers. We have a lot of farmers on site. More, I think last year we had 50 Farm Trails members participating in some capacity throughout the fair. We have incredible farm to table food booths that are there. So I really feel like it truly celebrates the diversity and of our local agricultural community.
Absolutely. There's a reason it's called the sweetest little fair. So we're going to taste something else from Dutton. And I think that means I have to finish my cider.
So speaking of wine, this will be available in our wine tent.
Oh, perfect. So we're going to taste the Dutton Goldfield Pinot Noir.
Right here.
Oh, there we go.
You hear the glug, glug, glug?
Always a party on Michelle's show.
Yeah. Ready?
Thank you.
And this is what vintage?
So this is, hang on here. This is a 2015 Pinot Noir, which is all grapes that we grow on the ranch. It's six different vineyards that are all blended together, and we call this our Dutton Ranch.
Dutton Ranch, okay.
Yeah.
There are aromatics on this, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even pour myself any.
Oh, don't leave yourself out.
That's nice.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Aromas.
Thank you. So I do want to say that, you know, the wine industry is obviously what's doing well in Sonoma County, but also, I mean, you know, everybody in the wine industry is supportive of the Apple Fair. The
absolutely.
The Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission's sponsors, many of the major sponsors of the fair. So it's important. And then, you know, there's a survey that the Wine Grape Commission just did. The survey respondents represent 48,000 acres of grapes that have responded into their survey. All those growers that responded, they also have 36,000 acres of other things that they're growing, whether it's pasture or apples like my brother and I, or it's other crops that they're growing
other
too.
Crops. So I've seen more and more of that. I think that's great. You know, my only complaint, I don't even want it to be characterized as a complaint. It's just the emphasis at the Harvest Fair in recent years has been on the wine. And it's been from the public,
not
so much from the producers necessarily, but it's been from the public.
You know, I sat on the Harvest Fair board for 9 years, and it was always a challenge to try to keep the attendance up, to try to get people to come, and they were always trying to reinvent themselves. And it was always, unfortunately, I mean, everyone wanted to come for wine. And
right, that's just what that seems to be right now what people want.
It is.
And
it
come
is.
For the wine, stay for the cider, guys.
There you go.
I like, you know, one of my favorite parts of the Harvest Fair is I just love the animals. I love seeing the animals, and I used to love seeing the big display of apples and other produce as well. But one of the things too, we also have the event in September that the Seed Bank puts on.
The Heirloom Expo.
Heirloom Expo. So we are getting, I mean, agriculture is still getting a lot of exposure.
Absolutely.
So
and
anyway,
I feel like I should say at this point the star of the show at the Apple Fair is still the Gravenstein.
Yes,
I mean, you can have pies, you can have juice. Manzana is one of our largest sponsors. They've got applesauce, their organic juice. They've got the vinegar shots.
Oh, the vinegar shots are fabulous.
Yeah. And then we've got, you know, lots of community groups making pies. And again, the pie sold out last year. I recommend getting there early. They go back and make them more that night. But
and you have to go. It's a church group. I never remember which
church. Sebastopol Community Church.
Yeah, that does the apple fritters.
Oh, no, that's Grandma's apple fritters. The Masons.
Oh, the Masons. Oh, the
apple fritters.
Okay.
And then we've got Shauna from Rocker Oysterfellers doing the Cajeta Carmel apples.
Right, yes.
With Dutton Ranch organic apples.
Those are delicious.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And we have the apple juggling contest, apple pie eating contest, caramel apple eating contest. Last year, a lot of kids lost, I think four kids lost teeth.
Sounds about
right. So, we haven't lost our focus there.
No, you definitely have not.
And Mom's apple pie is coming this year.
Oh,
we've been trying to get them.
Really?
We love
what will they be doing?
Gravenstein apple pies.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We lost one of our community groups, and they used to not come because they didn't want to take away from the churches, but because we have been running out of pies, I said, will you please come? We need more apple pies. So we'll have Kozlowski there, the Sebastopol Community Church, and Mom's apple pies, plus the other apple vendors.
Okay, well, we're finishing the Pinot, and this is a lovely Pinot.
Thank
it's
you.
Got that
delicious.
It's got that silk on satin quality that is one of the great appeals of Pinot. Let's talk a little before we go to the hard liquor. let's talk about the chef's tent.
Yes.
Rumor has it I'm doing something there.
Please tell. Remind me, Michelle, what are you doing?
This year, sort of by popular demand, a lot of people asked me last year about it. And I served it at the Gravenstein Day at the Sebastopol Farmers Market, which I can't do this year. I'm doing my spicy, smoky apple chowder.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's got four I layered in four elements of smoke. So I've got, first of all, I make a stock out of smoked ham hocks. Mm. And then when I saute the onions that goes into it, I put in chipotle powder, local chipotle powder. So there you have the heat and you have another layer of smoke. And then I put in the apples and some potatoes, which gives it the potatoes really give it the creamy quality and the stock. Then I puree it and put it through a strainer. And then I put in smoked goat cheddar from Redwood Hill.
Yeah.
So then you have the four layers of smoke. And this year, I wanted to do a little bit more and a little bit something different than because I did this, I think, 4 years ago. So I'm making a remoulade. Celery remoulade is a salad in France, and it's basically julienned celery root with a creme fraiche and mustard sauce. So instead of doing it with celery root, I'm doing it with Gravenstein apples and radishes, and then in a very mild Dijon mustard and creme fraiche sauce with some smoked onions.
Wow.
So, and that'll just be a dollop on top of the chowder. And so you actually have five layers of smoke this time. And it's just, I like savory thing. I really like exploring the savory spectrum with fruit and other sweet things. So that's what I'm doing in the chef's tent. And I'm doing it, I think it's Sunday at noon. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday at
noon. I'll be in the front row. I'll help you with the taste testing.
You're right. It's Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon. And then we've got Rob Heldenkamp.
So Shed is sponsoring the chef's tent this year, which we're super excited about. And they're... head chef Perry Hoffman will be there, and he's going to do a trout tartare with a Gravenstein apple salsa, farro verde, and summer herbs. Then we have Rob Hobenkamp, we have Mariana Gardenhire, we have Natalie from Handline, Natalie Goebel.
Oh,
and okay, Mateo Granadas.
Oh, Mateo, what's Mateo doing?
Yeah. Hold on, give me a minute. Give me a second.
Okay, it's okay. I have to say
it's a lot to hold in.
Something, you know.
but what I'll tell you when you come to the chef's tent, you get to Relish Culinary provides their mobile chef's kitchen, so you can see everything, you know, being made, and then you get a sample of it, and you also take home the recipe.
Yeah, you take home the recipe. You take home a good sample. I have to say, in this article, they asked me a couple of weeks ago what I was going to do. They may have the wrong information because I think they talked about what I'm doing in the artisan tent, and I changed it.
Okay. Well, Mateo is making a Gravenstein apple and shishito pepper salad with petrol sole.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
It'll be great to see Mateo. And is that on Sunday or Saturday? It's okay. You can look. You can't have all this in your head. It's not possible. Your head would explode.
He's Saturday at 3.
Oh, okay. I'll have to make a special effort. Zip out from the artisan. Yes. So, do you want to tell us anything more about this Pinot? It really is lovely.
It's all from our vineyards out in Russian River, Green Valley. It's all older vineyards that we have out there, and it's just a blend of six different vineyards that we have, all in Green Valley.
What's that sell for?
Oh man, $40 I think.
Okay,
$40 a bottle. Retail at our at the winery Dutton Goldfield at the corner of Grava, Highway 116 and Grayton Road.
Yeah, and you have somebody. You have a really nice woman who's doing food and wine pairings, don't you? Or am I mixing you up with somebody?
Yeah, I think you're mixing me up with.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking because I'm thinking I'm supposed to go taste her pairings, and
I think they do that at
that
your
could be my brother Joe's winery at Dutton Estate.
Oh, maybe it's Dutton. Okay, maybe it's Dutton Estate. Okay,
because easy to get us confused.
I was driving here thinking you were going to be here. I'm thinking, oh God, I haven't gone and done the tasting yet. I feel bad.
I still like you. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. And I have a good excuse. It doesn't matter, but I had a good excuse. I was sick for a long time and didn't have much of an appetite. Okay, I think it is time to move on to Spirit Works Distillery. How many? Does anyone know how many distilleries we have in Sonoma County?
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have Healdsburg, Windsor, Rohnert Park, Petaluma,
couple in Sonoma.
Yeah, there's Sonoma.
Yeah, let's get the microphone a little closer to you. Yeah, I want you to put. Yeah, I want you to put. There we go.
Perfect. Okay. How's that?
That's much better.
Excellent.
I can hear you well in my headphones. So, Spirit Works is in the Barlow.
Yes.
And your tasting room is open 7 days a week?
We're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, Wednesday through
11
Sunday.
To 5, but we also offer tours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 5 to 6.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are you making?
I brought a bee's knees since the famous pollinator. I don't have any good puns, but I have some.
You just came up
with that. It's the name of the cocktail.
You're also
so we're
wearing honeycomb earrings.
I am. So I came prepared.
I can't see them from here. How cool.
I don't know if we have some extra. I'll just pass that around. We use our barrel gin, which is unique because it's a gin that has been aged in a Char 4 New American White Oak barrel. So a barrel that you could fill with whiskey or bourbon. But we put our gin in that new barrel and we age it for a couple months. And the hand-zested citrus that's in our gin gets candied. The coriander cardamom that we add to the gin is a little smoky. So you just complement that with some fresh lemon juice and honey syrup, just equal parts honey and water. And it's really fresh.
And the citrus really comes through the aroma.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the bee's knees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Delicious.
We'll oh, it's
that.
Really good.
Yeah.
This might be the best use of gin that I've ever tasted.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I think people will be buzzing about this. There we go.
You know, you should get a job writing puns.
It's punishment. You don't want it. It's terrible.
Overall, what else does the distillery make?
Well, for a small craft distillery, we have a really big line of products at the moment. Mm-hmm. We make everything from vodka, gin, barrel gin. We have a 100% wheat whiskey, which is a little unusual.
Yes, it is.
Very lovely. And then we have rye whiskey. We have some cask strength whiskey that we're almost out of in the tasting room. The barrel gin, the slow gin, which is a traditional British
slow
liqueur.
Gin.
Yeah, that continues to be our number one product. Yeah. It's really hard to find slow berries, and so we source those from Bulgaria, and we macerate them on the gin.
As soon as you say slow gin, I start getting flashbacks.
So some of the flashbacks aren't good for people, but we're here to give you a better idea of what real slow gin tastes like.
Uh-huh.
So one of the owners, Timo Marshall, this is his family recipe that we use. And we also have some music barrels in the tasting room right now. So
some what?
Music barrels. So we got a little bit of press, and we were, the ABC News and Press Democrat came in to showcase it. But what it was is whiskey that was put into, same batch of whiskey into the same barrels. One of them we agitated with music, so headphones, speakers on the barrel, and the other one we did not. So we have a bluegrass set and the orchestra set in the tasting room right now.
I want to taste the garage bands.
The garage bands? They're still resting at the moment.
Okay.
And then, we've got bourbons, single malts, all kinds of things in the back. So we are expanding and growing pretty rapidly for 4 years old.
Great. When are you going to make absinthe?
I'll have to talk to Lauren about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I know she has some things she wants to make, but absinthe is a fun one.
I love absinthe. I just love it. Well, I'm a fan of licorice.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And plus, I was a student of... late 19th and early 20th century British literature, and so you would find a lot about absinthe, and I actually never thought I would ever taste it.
Yeah, it's interesting if you get to taste some.
Yeah, I know. I have, I think, 5 different kinds of absinthe at home.
Oh,
5
nice.
Or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking. I keep hoping. I mean, the closest one, as far as the Bay Area goes, is St. George.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They do one, and they do okay. But I keep thinking, you know, we got to get some up here. We got to get somebody in Sonoma County making a local absinthe.
Well, I'll talk to Lauren about that. Maybe we'll get a Spirit Works absinthe in your pantry.
That would be fabulous. We're going to take one more quick musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back. Yes, that's always a good time on Mouthful, isn't it? Especially when they bring tastings. So we are talking, just to sum it up, we are talking about the Grabenstein Apple Fair taking place August 12th and 13th at Regal Ranch Park. I always leave the ranch out. Regal Ranch Park on Regal, about half a mile from my house. If I was smart, I would put everything into a wagon and walk there. Parking is... That's the most challenging part of going to the fair.
Well, let me talk about that. So we are going to open the parking gates early. So on-site parking is $5, and we'll open the gates at 9:40 to the parking. The main fair won't open until 10, but we're hoping to minimize some of the congestion on Regal Road. There are also two free shuttles that run continually, one from O'Reilly Media on 116 and one from Holy Ghost Hall on Mill Station Road. Just around
really
the corner.
Really nearby.
So free shuttles, you can hop on those. You can ride your bike and get a $3 discount.
I was wondering, are there any discounts if you come in a bee costume?
Well, now, if you mentioned that a little while ago, maybe.
Maybe next year.
We do have discounts for seniors and veterans, and you can get advanced discounted tickets now at all Copperfields locations, all throughout, like Marin, Napa,
Sonoma,
at all Oliver's Markets. They have four locations now, and at Harmony Farm Supply and Nursery.
Oh, excellent.
So the cost is $12 for adults.
That's advanced?
This is advanced. So if you go into the stores, you can get them now. $8 for kids, which is the historic price. We haven't raised that price in years. Mm-hmm. And then on-site, there'll be $15 for adults and $10 for kids.
Okay.
And then, like I said, $3 off for cyclists, for adult cyclists. And you can find out all this information at GravensteinAppleFair.com. And the Artisan Tasting Lounge that we've sort of tempted you with today is a ticketed venue inside the fair. It's really lovely under this giant shady oak. And we'll have all of these folks here pouring and serving. Plus, we'll have, Michelle, you're going to be there with some bites.
I'll be there.
The Union Hotel will be there with some bites. Peter Lowell's and Handline will be there with bites. Local cheesemakers will be there. So Tamales Farmstead cheese, Valley Ford cheese.
And I'll tell you, it's the most pleasant place if it's hot.
Oh.
I went in there a few times and just to sit
so
under the beautiful shade of the tree, the those gorgeous oak trees.
And this is a venue that Jackson Family Wines sponsors and supports, and they're sending their executive chef Justin with Bites Every Day, and then Tucker Taylor will be
Tucker
there with his traveling garden. Hoping he'll, I'm sure he'll probably bring some pollinator plants and talk about his extraordinary culinary garden.
And
so tickets are available online.
Those are $20?
$20, either on site or in advance through Eventbrite.
Okay, great. And one of the things, you also have some walk-around entertainment.
Oh, we do.
Stilt walkers.
We have stilt walkers. We have giant bubbles. We have a guy who does balloon creatures. We have sing-alongs for kids. We have puppet shows. We have cowboy storytelling. That's one musician I didn't mention. Scott Gerber is going to be there performing with the Love Choir and then doing cowboy storytelling at Life on the Farm. And so for the kids, the American Ag Credit is sponsoring the kids area this year, and we've got an incredible kids lineup from the Summerfield Waldorf Circus will be there, which is totally thrilling, both days at 1:30. The Young Farmers and Ranchers are going to come and do a tractor pedal pull for the kids, which apparently is very entertaining. I haven't seen one before, but I'm excited. And we have hands-on arts and crafts. We have all sorts of bee activities for kids. The beekeepers are going to do some pollinator
Beekeepers Association. Yeah,
some pollinator simulation activities where the kids like have little. Do you know about this?
No.
No? Okay. So I think they have their flowers that are set up, faux flowers, although we'll have real flower crowns on the kids' heads. That's one of the things they can make at the kids' corner. And they have little droppers, and they go and simulate pollination.
Oh, cool.
Or the pollinating activity.
Uh-huh.
We have Stone Horse will be there with horse-drawn carriage rides.
Nice.
Will the strawbale maize be there?
And the hay maize will be there again.
So we've been taking Benny there since he was 3. He just turned 10, and that is number one.
Really?
He spends a whole lot of time right there. And yeah. So
last year, there were some llamas.
Oh, yeah.
And the llamas.
And they roam. Yeah.
And they were there. I took like 100 pictures of this one llama who was so beautiful.
Yeah.
She knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was fine. Just gorgeous llamas.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole section of farm animals. So there'll be, you know, miniature donkeys and baby doll sheep and piglets and goats and miniature horses and the cow and the llamas.
And you have to leave your dog at home.
Yes.
You can't bring your puppy.
You cannot.
That's okay. Lark will stay home. We're almost out of time. We have 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
Got about 2.5.
Yeah, we have 2.5 minutes left. So what I want to do is round up how people find each of you in a not the fair, but other ways. So let's start with you, Evelyn. When is your tasting room? And this is Evelyn Cavalli.
Ellen.
Close enough. We've had a couple of drops over here. It's okay.
Ellen.
So we're at Tilted Shed Cider Works. Our farm is in Sebastopol, but we make our cider up in Windsor at 7761 Bell Road, just off the Shiloh exit. Our tasting room is open 12 to 5 on Saturdays. We will be closed, though, on Gravesen Apple Fair weekend because all hands on deck. So come see us there, but otherwise come visit us at the tasting room or visit our website at tiltedshed.com.
Thank you. And Spirit Works.
We are in Sebastopol in the Barlow. It's a nice little maker's complex, so you can come visit multiple businesses. We will be open for the Gravenstein Apple Fair, but we will also be serving up the Bee's Knees in the Artisanal Lounge. And we're open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 5, with tours Friday through Sunday, 5 to 6.
Great, and that's Amanda Graziano, tasting room manager and distiller apprentice.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill McElroy.
Yes, we're Monte Bellaria. We are in Bloomfield, California on Bloomfield Road. You can reach us at our website, which is monte-bellaria.com, and it really is spelled just the way it sounds. We are very much looking forward to being at the fair and the Artisan Tasting Lounge. Okay. See you there.
Steve Dutton.
So the our winery, Dutton Goldfield, is on the corner of Highway 116 and Gramstein Highway and Grayton Road, excuse me, duttongoldfield.com. And if you want to buy apples from us after the fair, we have apples for sale at our home ranch, which is on Grayton Road. It's between Grayton and Occidental.
Thank you. And then there's a category for non-farmers, for people who just care about farming and agriculture in Sonoma County, who can join Farm Trails, right? Isn't there a category?
Well, we have farm members and we have partner members.
Partner members, okay.
Businesses that support local agriculture, like mm-hmm. the feed stores and the restaurants that are integral.
Me?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And we're always happy to have volunteers. We could still use some for the Gravenstein
really?
Apple Fair.
Really? So people
Fair.
Just go to the GravensteinAppleFair.com or .org.
GravensteinAppleFair.com. And there's on the front page of the homepage of the website, you'll see a link to sign up to be a volunteer.
There you go.
We've made it into this
technology. 4 hours?
4 hours.
You get an apron, and then you get to go to the fair.
You get a weekend pass to the fair. You get parking. You get, although we still encourage carpooling. And you also get a beverage ticket for after your shift.
Okay. And thank so much to everybody for being here. It's really a fascinating weekend. Our fascinating hour. I won't be here next Sunday or the Sunday after because I have obligations at doing things in Sonoma County. But they'll still be mouthful. So maybe back here in 3 weeks. But, you know, don't tune out just because I'm not live. And have a great week. And I'll see you at the fair. Come by and say hi.
Gamblers in this brand new Gora, moving in by truck and car, triple A.